and thank you for joining us on this series of podcasts about men in early years childcare. I'm Cathy Brodie of CathyBrodie.com. There's still very few men in childcare, so I was interested to investigate why this is and also what we can do to improve this situation. Today I'm joined by Connor Bathgate, Deputy Nursery Manager of Lisson Green Community Nursery, a busy 44-place nursery in Westminster, London, part of the London Early Years Foundation family of nurseries. Welcome to the podcast, Connor.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, please can you tell us a little bit about how you started out yourself in early years?
So I started thinking about early years at kind of a young age. In fact, I wanted to be an educational psychologist when I was growing up. And during my kind of GCSE time at school, things didn't go the way they expected. I came from quite a difficult situation at that kind of time in my life, and I didn't really achieve what I wanted to. So I decided I'd kind of look for something different, and I managed to find an apprenticeship with London Early Years Foundation and thought, well, if I want to become an educational psychologist, let's get some practical experience working with children see what happens. In fact, Gary Simpson, who you interviewed previously, was one of my tutors on that apprenticeship.
Fantastic.
And, I mean, I really enjoyed the apprenticeship. It was great, especially when we got into the developmental theory and all of that theory that underpins all of our practice. And actually, there's so much more to the play that people see. I couldn't really see myself anywhere else. So by December 2010, I'd completed the apprenticeship and I decided, well, there's practitioner vacancies with London Early Years Foundation. Let's go for one. Let's see what happens. I got the job successfully, and ever since then I've kind of developed my role, picked up new little jobs that I can do alongside my practice, little things like marketing incentives, brand champions, what we call it, supporting the SENCO, looking at the health and safety aspects, and I just really enjoy all aspects of childcare and the actual business as well.
Oh, excellent. So you've mentioned there that you have looked at different areas like the SENCO and the different aspects of the role. Is there anything which you're really drawn to, any particular area that you really thoroughly enjoy?
I like all of them because they're all unique. I'm one of those people that if I'm doing the same thing for too long, I tend to get a little bit bored and want a new challenge as well.
Yes.
So I've never held the health and safety role myself, but I've supported. And the same with the SENCO role. At the moment, I'm kind of undertaking a co-SENCO role at my current workplace. But I kind of like to be into everything that's going on.
Yes. Not a bad way to be, because then, as you say, you've got that good rounded view of everything that's happening, haven't you?
Yeah.
I think that's a good... I do know that you have a special interest in speech and language therapy and supporting children with English as an additional language. How did that come about? How did that start?
Well, my first nursery setting where I undertook my apprenticeship, and I continued on after my apprenticeship, actually, it was in Queen's Park, and it's quite a deprived area. Most of the children at my setting at that time were our National Education Funded Places, or the two-year-old pilot scheme at that time, which is now the two-year-old offer. And 80% of the children in my care at that time had English as an additional language.
Really?
Yeah.
80%? Really?
Quite a high amount. So, I mean, something that was already in place when I joined the setting, and I seen this as casual practice, was that every day, morning and afternoon, a key person would take their key children for a language group. And this is something that they already had in place and they were doing every single day. Every morning and afternoon, the children loved all the visual prompts. They loved all the different activities. And I found it really, really effective. There was a great partnership with the speech and language therapists in the area. They would regularly come in, they would lead activities, they would share best practice, and it just fascinated me, the language acquisition, because really, I mean, in terms of observing and assessing children, if the language is really limited, it can be quite difficult, especially as a new practitioner, because you don't really understand what's a child gaining from this activity, where are they, what do they understand by this?
Yeah.
So to be able to focus on that as one of the most detrimental and important aspects of my job role, I felt like I was making a difference and I was able to correctly assess the children and correctly support them and put things in place to take them to that next step.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, if you've got that higher percentage, you're not talking about a minority group, are you? That's what's going to be good for the vast number of children in that setting. So you're doing a lot of good for a lot of children, aren't you, in that way?
Well, exactly. I mean, you kind of adapt your practice to suit the setting that you're in, and different settings have different needs. My first setting, it was speech and language, was probably the most major need at that kind of time. So I kind of invested a lot of my time researching, looking at different ways I could do things, and adapting my practice just to support the children.
And have you been able to use that in your current setting as well?
I've actually taken this to my new setting that I'm in now. I've been in other settings previously, but now, because again, I'm in a setting where that we do have a large percentage of English as an additional language. So I've actually supported the practitioners and taught them how to lead these language groups that I used to see in place. And I mean, the impact on the children so far has been really, really positive, and it's great to share that practice.
Yes, yes. And I think sometimes if you are able to role model that for other practitioners as well, that can be very positive rather than just saying, oh, this is a theory, actually showing people how to do it. That can really bring it alive, can't it, for practitioners?
Yeah, exactly.
Talking of research as well, I believe you've been doing a research project on the effectiveness of cohort tracking in supporting the children's individual learning outcomes. And the sorts of things that practitioners can maybe learn from this. Could you tell me a little bit more about what you're hoping to gain from this project and how that's come about, please?
Yeah. I've said it quite recently. Quite recently, I moved to a new setting as a deputy manager. I was in a previous setting as one, but I've just recently moved to Listen Green Nursery a couple of months ago. And my manager proposed that we do a bit of action research together, and she proposed the question. And I thought it was great. Immediately I took to it and I was like, this is something I could really get my teeth into. The idea behind it is it's a two-tiered approach where we're going to currently assess all of the children that are in our care, looking at different groups, boys, girls, three-year-old boys who are predominantly with two-year-old children who haven't transitioned yet and such, to assess all of their development and to identify areas of development. And also to identify things that have gone really well with their development, because there could be aspects of our practice that are amazing that we should really be sharing with other nurseries.
But absolutely.
When doing that, we kind of have to look at practitioners' views about what is tracking, how effective is it, and how should they be observing and assessing children. So we're putting together a questionnaire that will kind of assess our practitioners' knowledge. And then from the second tier, we can start to implement training, we can start to implement environmental changes, we can look at current research and theory to support the children who aren't developing so well and put things in place to maybe, well, hopefully, improve that situation. And then to reassess at the end of it, and to also reassess our practitioners on what they've gained from this. I really hope it goes well, and I'd actually like to pass it along to many other nurseries and go in and support them with this as too.
And certainly with the Leaf family of nurseries that you do have in London, you've got a massive opportunity to take that to a wide range of different nurseries in different areas with different needs. And it'd be very interesting to see how tracking translates across those different areas, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. Because you might find that, I mean, we have three settings all based very close to Queen's Park. And it might be, from my experience in the past of my first setting, having such a high percentage of children with English as an additional language and struggling with language acquisition, that actually many of the nurseries in that area might also have the same. And that's something that could also even go further and be passed on to children's centres, so they could implement specific training for parents and specific groups to support parents with this.
And I, as you say, I can see how that might be supported with the family groups that they do, the sorts of things that they put on in children's centres. And across London, of course, you've got a massive opportunity. Would you be hoping to publish that, to actually put that out there as a paper?
I really would hope to publish it. I mean, I really hope the research goes really well and I can make something really solid that other practitioners can relate to, other managers, other deputies, and go, this is great. We should do the same. And I mean, the most important thing it supports the children.
Yes. And I would love to read about that. I'd love to see that out there in the public domain and have that discussed. And as you say, just to see how that supports children and start those sorts of discussions as well as to how we can then take that good practice forward. I think that would be excellent. That sounds very exciting, Connor. Can I just take you back a little bit to men in childcare? I just want to have a discuss about the sorts of experiences that you've personally had in your career and the sorts of things that you think we can do in the future to improve matters. So just starting off, in general, what sort of barriers do you think there are for men in such a predominantly female workplace and profession?
It's a difficult one. I feel going in as a young male, my first nursery, I was the only male practitioner, apprentice actually at that time. But I did have a nursery chef who was a male, so I did have another male figure around just for support. But I think a lot of the time, when people feel pressure going into settings that are predominantly dominated by one gender or different groups of people, a lot of the feelings can be self-internalized. I think sometimes that pressure and that fear that you feel, that's something you're putting on yourself. And actually, most people are really willing to work with you. And yes, you do get the occasional person who's quite difficult, quite challenging. And sometimes there is discrimination. I've come across discrimination in my time, unfortunately. But by saying, I'm good at my job, I'm here on my own merits, I'm here for the children, and it's not your decision to place me here or to remove me from this place, you kind of take that power away from those people who discriminate against you. It doesn't have to be aggressive or hostile. It just has to be a confidence where you say, I'm good at my job and I deserve to be here. You have no right to tell me I don't.
Yeah, and it's very interesting that one of the first things you've mentioned there is, again, support. And we found that with the podcast that lots of men have said that the support is so important. But I think that confidence is absolutely critical, that self-belief, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely, definitely. And I would agree as well that it's not just men in a female workplace. I think it's females in a male workplace as well. I think that works both ways, definitely.
Of course.
Yeah. So, have you encountered any specific difficulties with being a man in the industry? Is there anything you'd like to discuss on any specific occasions?
I've had two quite intense occasions. The first was just recently become a nursery practitioner, and very unfortunately a colleague discriminated against me for being male and for a few other aspects about me. But the thing is, most settings, I believe, have robust policies and procedures to protect people. Things like dignity at work, things like grievance procedures. I was upset for a while about it, and it did bring me down, but I actually had a really supportive deputy manager at that time, and she'd been on holiday. She came back, and she took one look at me and she said, you're not happy, what's wrong? And I told her what had happened. She said, I can't tell you what to do. You have to make a decision what you want to do yourself. But what I can tell you is whatever you choose to do, we'll support you.
Lovely.
And she made me aware of the policies that are in place, and obviously the feelings I would have to be feeling in order to maybe consider something like that, or actually, is it not as severe and can it be resolved internally? And I mean, it was resolved towards the end, and I felt more confident after that because I knew there's people there supporting me. Not because I'm a male, but as they would any other practitioner. We're all entitled to go to a comfortable workplace.
Absolutely right, yes. And it doesn't matter what sort of discrimination or what you're undergoing, whether that's bullying or whatever, to have that support from your manager is critical, isn't it?
I mean, at my new setting, unfortunately, I walked into my new setting and my first day working with somebody, they asked for a transfer to the manager in private because they felt they couldn't take direction from a young male. And felt that they shouldn't be taking direction from me and I shouldn't be in this position. My manager was great in the fact that she explained that is discrimination. I've been given the job on my own merit and because I'm skilled. And actually, that's not fair. Me and that practitioner had a nice long chat. We were walking together one day after work, and instead of actually approaching her and saying, you've been unfair to me, I kind of left her, and I let my manager resolve that situation. She decided to stay. But when we had that walk, I just explained who I am. where I've come from, why I'm doing what I'm doing, the experience I have, my journey so far in childcare. She turned around the next day and apologised and said that she was so unfair to me and treated me so wrong, and, you know, it wasn't nice. And it made me feel really special, because instead of actually, you know, throwing your back up and being like, that's unfair, you shouldn't be working here, instead I actually wanted to educate her, and I wanted her to understand me a bit more. And she did, and we work really well together now. It's really nice.
Yeah, and that's such a lovely story, and I think that just underlines what it means to be professional, doesn't it? And that's what we talk about when we're talking about working in a profession, and that is an absolutely professional way of handling things. And again, as you say, it doesn't matter what sort of discrimination it is. That's such a lovely, uplifting story. Thank you so much for that, Connor. That's really nice. It's great to hear that that's been resolved positively as well. I hope that gives some hope to other people who may be going through similar things, that, you know, you can come out the other end a stronger and better practitioner for it.
Yeah, with a better relationship with your colleagues.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's really nice. So what sort of things do you do at your nursery to make the environments more welcoming for men in general? Not just practitioners, but dads, granddads, uncles, the men out there.
I think the important thing is not to put too much pressure. You're born that way. So instead of targeting a dad and going, you're a dad, come and help me do this, I really hate doing that. I despise it, because I don't like having that same pressure on me where someone's like, Connor, you're a male, go talk to all of the dads, and you just get thrown in the deep end, and it's like, oh, what do I say?
Yeah.
But what I do, I look at each parent, regardless of their gender, if they're a father, a mother, a grandfather, any carer at all, and I kind of look for things that they're good at. You'll get people who have musical talents, you'll get people who are actually really creative and they can put things together. And instead of focusing on, you're a male, it would be great to have a male come in and, you know, read a story, it's actually, oh, I know that you're really good at music, and none of us really have that talent here. Would you be able to come and play some music for us? Not because you're male, just because you're good at playing music. And it gives people more confidence, because you're not singling them out because of their gender. You're just celebrating a talent that they have, and they're confident to show off their talent because it's a talent.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that'd be a great motto for life, wouldn't it? Just show off your own talents. Do you think the settings are getting more male friendly, or do you think you walk into an average setting and you still feel like this is a female world that I've entered?
Again, it's kind of those things about self-internalization. It's about putting those feelings in yourself. Most people, I don't know how it feels to be a parent, but as a practitioner, don't care who you are. They're just happy to work with a new practitioner. You're just a new person to them. But at the same time, seeing all those females as a practitioner could be overwhelming, and you could start putting those feelings of, oh my God, do they think I'm different because I'm a man, or do they, they're questioning why I'm here, kind of thing. I think nurseries are getting better, but I mean, I have limited experience to say this. I had 5 years to say this in. But at the same time, I think people's views are changing, and I think it's all about challenging people's views, challenging their perceptions, and best practice and education are the way to do that, rather than, you know, putting your back up or anything else like that. Actually show them, I'm good at my job, I know what I'm doing, and, you know, I'm educated and I'm a professional, and no, I don't just sit down and, well, I do sit down and play most of the day, but there's a lot more behind that. There's a lot more that underpins that and educates the children and supports them.
Yeah, it's not just wiping noses and changing nappies, is it?
No. It can be seen as, I think, yeah, it's just about inviting everybody in and educating them and showing them, you know, this is really great what we're doing. I mean, encouraging males, you have your letters and you make sure they say parents and carers. They don't say mummies. I really hate the idea sometimes of dad's days. They have been effective, and we have had them. And I have used it as a way to meet the dads in the setting. Something we've done in the past is mum's night off. And the idea behind that is basically, it's going to be an evening session between like 5 and 7, for example. We want male carers to come into the setting with the children for a play session. The whole setting set up in usually messy play activities, fun things to do, nothing too girly. But then what is a girly activity?
Exactly, yeah.
And we also have cooking activities, which will become dinner. so mum can stay at home, put her feet up, she can have a nice bath and relax with a glass of wine, whatever floats her boat, and the nails will come in for the evening. But I don't like doing that too regularly, because I just feel like it's singling males out. And so if you put a load of men into a room together, most of the time people kind of look at each other like, oh God, what do I say? And I know the feeling, I really do.
Yes, you're only there because you all happen to have children of a similar age who go to the same nursery, and it's like, oh no, what do I say? Yeah.
Exactly.
I love the idea of having mum's night off, though. I think that's so positive, rather than underlining the fact we don't have men come into the setting, to say we do have women and they need a night off. I think that's so positive. That's really lovely. And if you ever want to do it around my area, sign me up. So, Connor, what would your advice be? If you were listening to this podcast now and you were a man thinking about going into early years, and you're sort of thinking, I don't know, I quite like working with children, but I don't know, what would your advice be?
Do it.
Okay.
But really, I suppose don't go into the field because, and don't have the idea that you're going to be a token because you're a male and, you know, you're a trophy to show that, oh, we have inclusive practice. Go into it because you're passionate about the children. Go into it because you want a profession that really makes you happy. I mean, my job makes me so happy. All the pressures of life, of being an adult. I mean, I'm a young male. I'm 21 years old. I'm living on my own. There's a lot of pressure with life, but actually when I go into work and those working hours, the smiles on the children's faces, the innocence behind it, and just the fact that they're just enjoying what they're doing and playing and learning, and they want to know so much and they're so interested in everything, you forget all of those pressures of life. It's a job where you can always be happy and you can smile and just know that you're making a difference in people's lives. Even if it's one person a day or one person in a year, you've still made a difference to somebody.
And of course, the research shows us that that difference isn't just for this year, next year. It's going to go on for years and years and years, isn't it? Oh, that's really nice. That's lovely. And so finally, how can people find out more about Listen Green and the London Early Years Foundation in general?
So we have a website, which is www.leyf.org.uk. Mm-hmm. That's where you can find out about... well, you can work with us, possibly. We do have vacancies. We've also got apprenticeship schemes, so you can always inquire about those if you don't have the qualification but you want to try a new career path. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm on there. Just search Connor Bathgate. I'm more than happy to answer any questions if anybody wants some advice from somebody who's been doing it for a while.
Lovely.
I'm also just recently become the co-vice chair of the Men in Childcare Network for London.
Oh, congratulations. I didn't know. That's fantastic. Well done.
Thank you. And we, I need to remember the Twitter now. It's at Men in Childcare. So we're also on Twitter, where you can message us on there. And we don't have a LinkedIn just yet, but we will have one. So watch the space. So there will be something to come.
How lovely. Wow, so there's lots of different places that you can go to there. On the apprenticeships, do you have to be a certain age to join, to be an apprentice? What's the rules for those?
Be 100% honest, I'm not the best person to ask. However, I do think you have to be under 24. However, if you are really keen to join the nursery settings, I would still recommend you give London Early Years Foundation a call. Because there might be some way to fund it alternatively that we could do. If you're passionate about children, we're interested in you.
You couldn't ask for better than that. That's fantastic. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us today, Connor. It's been fascinating hearing about your time in early years. And I know you say it's only 5 years, but that is quite a long time in early years, isn't it? you've got some very positive and very interesting advice to offer people there. And I just think what you're doing with the children, and I can't wait to hear how the project goes as well. That's absolutely been absolutely fascinating. And I think if you're any man even thinking about it, all of those things would be of interest. Thank you very much indeed for joining me today, Connor.
Thank you for your time.
Do join me, Cathy Brodie, again for the next podcast about men in early years childcare.